Good morning, everyone. I want to thank Niall for his warm words of welcome. I'm delighted to be with you today to share something of the work of Tear Fund. But firstly, I want to thank you most sincerely for your ongoing support for Tear Fund, because I know that as a congregation, you are extremely generous in your giving. And for that, we are truly grateful. The difference that your prayers and your gifts make can never be underestimated. And over the past few years, I've had the privilege of being able to go and see for myself the lives of individuals and how their lives have been changed because of your generosity. God's word tells us that as we express our love to the Lord for those in need, those on the receiving end of your gifts are filled with joy in the Lord because of what they have received from you. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that this is the generosity that pleases the Lord because it results in thanksgiving to him. Yes, we give because there's a need, but ultimately we give because it brings glory to God. And so often, you know, whenever I'm in Africa or anywhere else and people receive a gift, they don't immediately thank me. They immediately look to God and thank him. So I pray that you will be encouraged this morning as well as challenged as I share with you something of what God is doing as he works out his purposes in the lives of individuals and communities. Let's just pray briefly for a moment. Father, we pray that you will help us just now as we think of an area of great need in our world. We pray that you will give us minds to understand what you want to say to us, both individually and as a church. Give us ears to hear and hearts to respond in willing obedience to you. Amen. Tear Fund, I know, is familiar to many of you, but perhaps there are some here this morning, and this is maybe the first opportunity that you have had to hear something about the work of Tear Fund. Tear Fund is an evangelical Christian relief and development agency, working with a global network of local churches that help to eradicate poverty, working today with over 300 Christian partners in over 60 countries. Many people in our world are suffering because of HIV, food shortages, contaminated water, poor sanitation, and no medical facilities. Every minute of every day, 3 children under the age of 5 die because of dirty water and poor sanitation. And I think we've been in the service now for about 40 minutes. That's 120 children who have already died since we met here this morning. This is a horrendous situation, and one that Tear Fund, with God's help and through the generosity of people and churches like yourselves, is seeking to bring to an end. What we so easily take for granted, clean water and a toilet, is denied to so many. The scale of extreme poverty today is unbelievable. As a result of poverty, 24,000 people die every day. But every minute of every day, Tear Fund is committed to the vision of seeing 50 million people released from material poverty and spiritual poverty through a worldwide network of 100,000 local churches. This is our vision, working through the local church to bring about whole life transformation, not just physical, but social, spiritual, and psychological. It's what we call integral mission. And isn't this what Jesus did? In Luke chapter 7, it says this: the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Jesus' ministry was to the whole man. This morning, I want to share something with you of what the Lord is doing in Mozambique. a country that I've had the privilege of visiting on three occasions. The church is mainly Roman Catholic, but today there is a growing number of indigenous evangelical churches. And through visiting Tearfund's partner, Kabatsarana, I've been able to see for myself how the churches in this remote part of Africa are reaching out into the community with the love of Christ. This is what makes Tearfund unique. Tearfund works through the local church. They are the people on the ground who know what the needs are. And as people see the local church in action, so the people get a glimpse of a God who loves them and who cares for them and who longs to be in relationship with them. Mozambique is a large country, three times the size of the UK, situated on the south coast of East Africa, just north of South Africa and south of Malawi. Chimoia, where we were based, was about an hour's drive from the border with Zimbabwe. With a population of over 21 million, it's a country that has been battered by colonial rule, civil war, famine and flooding. 1.5 million people living with HIV/AIDS. That's roughly the whole population of Northern Ireland. Formerly a Portuguese colony, Portuguese continues to be the official language. But of course, the majority of people often only speak one of the 17 other languages. Kabatsarana, Tearfund's partner, is an association of 99 churches who work together in the fight against HIV/AIDS. Kabatsarana supports churches and other Christian groups by building and enhancing their capacities and providing them with resources with the ultimate focus of reaching generally the most vulnerable individuals and families, and in particular those infected and affected by HIV/AIDS. And on the slide you can see something of the variety of work in which Kabatsarana is involved. There is so much that I could share with you this morning from my visits, but I want just to introduce you to an amazing lady, Melita, my sister in Christ. Melita is a volunteer with Kabatsarana, and it's her job to help to find the sick people in her area and, if possible, to get them to hospital. It's also her responsibility to ensure that orphans and vulnerable children are cared for and are looked after well by the families with whom they live. I spent two very precious nights staying in Melita's home. And here you can see Grace, my translator, busy with the washing up. The next slide shows one of my roommates, Melita's hen, who laid the eggs. And I shot that picture in the dark, not knowing what would come out. And then I noticed three lovely white eggs in the background. I also shared the room with a few other creatures, but will not go there this morning. They certainly made a bit of noise during the night. But my time staying in Melita's home was very precious. We shared meals together. Although she couldn't speak any English, with Grace's help, we sang Christian songs together. I had taken some leaflets with me from White Abbey Church. We laughed together and we prayed together. We went to the market together to buy the little food that we needed for our one meal of the day. And this is masa, which is a sort of porridge type staple food. And we got some fish from the lake. And I can tell you, a little bit of onion and a tomato made a big difference to that fish. But on my first morning, as I accompanied Melita, as she went off to visit the sick and the orphans, and unfortunately time doesn't permit me to tell you everything that's in my heart, but as I followed Melita and looked at the desperate need all around me, I asked myself this question: how precious is one individual to me? But more importantly, how precious is one individual to the Lord? I knew that from Melita, that each individual was very precious. I had been watching her all morning and saw how she reached out to the needy people all around her, how she reached out to comfort and to help them. On my second morning, Melita had heard that an orphan was in hospital. She didn't know their name. She didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. But what she did know was that this orphan needed her help. So off we went together in the heat of the day to find the hospital. After about 30 minutes walking in the heat, we waited for another 2 hours in the hospital, only to be refused entry because we didn't have a name. But that didn't stop Melita finding a way in, because suddenly, totally amazed, we were in the wards searching for this orphan. But it appeared as if all hope was gone, and we started to make our way out of the hospital again. But as we were coming down through the crowds of people going up and down the stairs, suddenly Melita bumped into someone that she knew, who knew where the orphan was. So quickly we turned back up the stairs again. Gilda, a 20-year-old girl, was crying uncontrollably with severe pain. She couldn't eat, she couldn't lie, she could hardly sit. She was in dreadful pain. We brought her some food, and all it did was make her sick again. I prayed with Gilda, and we sang softly to her of Jesus' love for her, as Grace interpreted. I discovered that Grace, Gilda, and 2 other women had been pushed out of the main ward because they were too sick to be bothered with. There were no doctors available to give a proper diagnosis, and there were no nurses available to give Gilda the care that she needed. And sadly, Gilda passed away 2 weeks after I returned home. But Melita was there with her to comfort her and to help her in the name of Jesus. Melita, this godly woman called by God to be his servant, loving her Lord with all of her heart, always putting others first, always caring for the sick and the orphaned. As I followed Melita around, I watched her as she helped those in need, often saw how she gave out of the little she had so willingly to give others in greater need. Melita has a purpose in life, and she is serious about her faith. And her purpose is to serve the Lord. And she keeps her focus on people who need her help and who need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. But Melita goes even beyond all that I've told you this morning to give even more of herself. But this time, what she gives is to me, someone who has an abundance of all that this world has to offer. The day after I left Melita's house, it was about a 20-minute drive to where she lived. And the day after I left, she walked to Kibbutzarana headquarters with a gift for me. Her prize possession, her rooster alive and kicking, her treasured possession. Out of her extreme poverty, she gave her best. What a challenge to our hearts this morning. What a challenge. I knew from staying with her, that was the only rooster she had. When I returned to our B&B where we were staying, I woke up in the middle of the night thinking of Melita, and I knew that staying with her in her home had been very special. But that night I realized just how special it was, because suddenly I realized that in meeting Melita, I had met with Jesus. Listen to the words of 1 John 2, verse 6. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And this was precisely what Melita was doing. Living her life in obedience to her heavenly Father, walking in the light and in love towards the crowds of needy and lost people all around her, seeing each one as a precious individual in need of a Savior, not focusing on her own poverty, but focusing on the needs of others. I'm greatly humbled as I think of Melita, a woman with no education. She can't read, she can't write, she can't even celebrate her birthday because she doesn't know when she was born. Yet a woman full of passion for her Lord and full of compassion for others, walking as Jesus walked. But how can we, sitting in Ballyhenry Church this morning, walk as Jesus walked? This is a question that is constantly on my mind since meeting Melita. And I want to just look very briefly at a few verses from Acts 3 that was read to us earlier. And if you have your Bible there, maybe you would like to turn to Acts 3 and verses 1 to 16 as we just very briefly look at these verses. Acts chapter 3. Here we read of a man crippled from birth. We know from further reading of the passage that he was 40 years old. Someone in great need, sitting in the same place every day, begging. It was relentless, day in, day out. All he could expect were a few coins to buy enough food to keep him alive for a day. And Peter and John come along, and they connect with this man in a very real way, and they look straight at him. Peter didn't have money to give him, but he knew that what he could give this man on this occasion was something that money could never buy, because what he had was the power of Jesus in his life and a hand with which to help this man to his feet. Peter says, "What we have we give in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. One commentator puts it beautifully. The power was Christ's, but the hand was Peter's. Peter gave him a hand up, not a hand out. As Peter lifts the man to his feet, we read that his ankles became strong, and soon the man walks, then leaps, and praises God. And this has an astounding effect on those who were watching, as it draws the crowds to see what has happened. We read that the man is not only healed physically, but also spiritually. He praises God. And isn't this what holistic mission is all about? And it was something that I was able to see for myself, and any of you who have been to Africa will have seen the same thing. Something that I was able to see through Tear Fund in Mozambique. Seeing people who would be dead today, but for the hand that reached out in the name of Jesus. Volunteers like Melita, demonstrating the love of Jesus to the widow, the orphan, the poor, the vulnerable, and the needy. But this passage goes on to tell us that all the people saw and were filled with wonder and amazement, and it's just the same today. As we reach out our hands, the Lord takes our gifts and he uses them around the world to lift people out of poverty, connecting our hands to the hands of those affected, even by the desperate situation in Syria, flooding in the Philippines, to individuals like Melita in Mozambique, and I know someone who's greatly on your heart, to Mpatso in Malawi. And when we reach out our hands, others begin to follow Jesus. And when this happens, families and whole communities rush to see what has happened, because they see the difference that Jesus has made to the lives of individuals. But another thing we notice from this passage is that Peter, most importantly, directs the crowd's attention away from themselves and away from the man who has just been healed. "This isn't our doing," Peter says. Peter immediately points to Jesus. He is the one who has made this man whole. It's all about Jesus. It's not about Peter. It's not about John. And this is one of the things that thrills my heart about Tear Fund, because it's not about what Tear Fund's doing. It's not about me as a volunteer. It's not even about you as a supporter. It's about Jesus. It's about what Jesus is doing. It's about what God is doing across our world through the local church. And this is our great encouragement and motivation. No matter how little we are doing, it's about Jesus working in our lives, in the local church, and in Tear Fund as an organization, connecting our hands to reach out and to touch and to give a hand up to those in need. Verse 16 says, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing, as you can all see." The beggar received complete healing, physical and spiritual. Before this, he was barred from entering the temple, but now through physical and spiritual healing, he can enter the temple and worship and praise God as a believer. And today, through the local church and Tear Fund partners, whole communities can see that God is at work, that Jesus died for them, that he has risen from the dead, and that he is alive, and that he cares passionately for those in need. We notice too in this passage that for Peter, the healing led to an opportunity to preach the gospel to others. And we haven't time to look at this in detail, but can I encourage you to read this passage whenever you go home, because it is thrilling to see the purposes of God being worked out. And today in the developing world, this is often how the church is able to tell others about Jesus. This encourages us so much because it reminds us that when we give to those living in poverty through Tear Fund, we are not only helping them practically, but God in his mercy is using your gift and mine to spread his gospel around the world. What an encouraging and challenging passage this scripture is. But I had the privilege of returning to Mozambique just 4 months ago, and I was able to see Melita again. And with a few other women and Thomas, who's an orphan boy himself, she has a field to look after now, providing vegetables to feed some of the orphan children in her district. And every Saturday morning, the children, the orphans themselves, come and they work in the field so that they too can learn how to grow the seeds, how to look after the young seedlings, and ensure that in the future they will be able to lift themselves out of poverty. And I'm sure you've never seen lettuce as good as this in Tesco's or Sainsbury's. I told her she was charging far, far too little for these lettuce. But praise God that through Tear Fund's partner, Kibbutzarana, many people living with HIV/AIDS are now able to look after themselves and their families. I know that as a church, you already give generously to Tear Fund, and I've already said thank you for that. But there may be individuals here this morning who would like to connect in a deeper way with some people living in poverty, and Tear Fund can help you to do just that. Tear Fund can help you. Praying with us and giving £10 a month could save the lives of 3 people living with HIV/AIDS. Or for roughly the cost of a cup of coffee a month, the life of 1 individual could be saved. Or as I told the children earlier, for as little as £5, 5 children would have food for 6 weeks. As you arrived this morning, you would have found a little card on your seat. And I have a number of little booklets. I've lost my little card. A little card like this one. And I have a number of little books with me that I can give to you this morning. It has 10 stories telling about people's lives, people whose lives have been changed practically and spiritually. And you can have one of these little books, and you'll be able to go through it, and it will help you to see how people are able to grow, not only physically, but also spiritually. So simply just fill in your details on that little card and give it to me at the end of the service, and I'll gladly give you one of these little booklets. And you can also see there's a box there to tick if you'd like to discuss regular giving with Tear Fund. Proverbs 19 says, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done." God has called Melita to live for her Lord in her own community in Mozambique. As we live for the Lord here in our own communities, I wonder, do we have the same compassion as Melita to reach out to our neighbours or to those who are going through difficult times? I pray that the Lord will fill all of our hearts this morning with a genuine passion for himself and a compassion for others. May God help us to live lives that reflect something of the beauty of Jesus in Melita's life as we reach out our hands to lift people out of poverty. Let's just pray briefly for a moment. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for Melita this morning, and we want to lift her up before you. Father, we thank you for the life that she lives for you in Mozambique. We thank you for how she reflects the light and love of Christ wherever she goes. Father, we ask you that you will protect her from all harm and danger and fill her with your joy, your love and your peace, and enable her, Lord, just to be a blessing to others as she walks as Jesus walked. Your word tells us, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their heart on pilgrimage. Father, we thank you for your presence with us, and we pray you will just come by your Holy Spirit, fill our hearts to overflowing with the compassion of Christ so that others will know that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, in whose name we pray. Amen.